Hello, I'm Matt Presti, cosmologist, musician, and philosopher. Welcome to Knowing the Creator 101. Charge and discharge, centropy or entropy, well describe a full wave cycle of creation for which materialist science only recognizes one half of this total wave cycle. If the human body were to follow the blueprint of the Big Bang and tropic heat death universe model, the human body as well as all other bodies should by right only exhale. We know this is not the case, however. The sun inhales over a period of approximately 11 years and exhales over the same amount of time. Astrophysicists falsely call this unknown process a reversal of the sun's magnetic field or polarity. Denying the process of universal inhalation for all bodies is laughable in the face of cosmic truth. All bodies breathe in and breathe out from micro to macro. Inhalation of all bodies, once discovered, will balance the one-way heat death false model of creation, which forever locks man's mind into an explosion-only universe. This is a colossal error in science for which mankind is paying a heavy price, as we can see by the amount of pollution generated by this grave one-way misunderstanding. This leaves science in a conundrum. Science has chained itself to the use of only its senses, and its world of so-called laws, which it purports as knowledge, locking itself into the study of only the death half of the wave of creation alone. Walter Russell gave to the world the understanding of both the life-giving side and death-regiving side of the wave of creation. The Big Bang is perhaps the most egregious error in astrophysics, due to the simple fact that it consigns the Creator and all of creation to a death sentence. Redshift must have its counterpart of blue shift to be complete. The cosmic illuminate Walter Russell gave us a seamless two-way motion electric universe, an optical universe, a holographic fractal universe back in 1926. Centropy, as a term meaning the in-breath of creation, is the uphill flow of electricity, also known as generative concentrative compression, which performs its work through twin opposing vortices that enwind space, which can be seen ubiquitously throughout nature. Entropy releases that enwinding at 90 degrees by radiative decentrative expansion through the equators of all bodies. All bodies in motion exhibit these two directions. Therefore, rightly, so must the universe as a whole exhibit this two-way motion, which completely invalidates the need for a Big Bang. The Big Bang has led science into a boxed canyon that, despite ever more mathematical equations to shore up all the holes, becomes only more and more complex and fantastic science fiction. The idea of a God particle of matter in a universe of wave motions loses its appeal when one looks at the universe within the eye of the heart, or the pineal gland. Quantum physics has created the need for multiverses to shore up this most unnatural travesty of nature, which purports that energy comes in packets. It is unfortunate that science could not trip over stillness as to alert their senses to its mighty presence. There is no need to use a particle as a starting point of motion when you have the entire domain of the light of mind as the beginning and ending of motion. Within the light of mind, the division of the universal equilibrium creates a locatable point within the universe of moving matter. The screen of space is the reflective medium for the projections of God's mind thinking and man's mind thinking to exist. The inert gases are the projectors of the light of mind into pairs of moving lights which forever seek rest by sequential interchanges and yet never find rest. All bodies follow this path. Everything is born from stillness, and if left to unfold naturally, all bodies predominantly charge toward life until maturity, then predominantly discharge toward death beyond maturity. This is the life and death cycle of bodies in the heavens and bodies of the earth in both the micro and the macro scales. From cell to tree to planet to star to galaxy, this is a seamless law for which tens of millions of experiments can be performed to prove it. Or one can simply know it for themselves, which removes the need for experimentation. All knowledge is timeless to an illuminate. All motion in this 3D cosmic light cinema can be found to be moving upon a still gravity shaft, exhibiting north and south gravity poles. At the center of every sphere, motion is negated within the fulcrum. It is here that the universal mind controls the motions of electrically divided light, which exists as spheres and rings. Universal mind is also bounding the motions of electricity at planes of zero curvature, which frees light into form and give it the appearance of solidity. The cube and the sphere are the sole working tools of creation. These are the two lights of motion. Matter is the visible compressed side of the wave, while space is the reverse expanded condition of the wave. Both are equal and opposite expressions of the other and rhythmically balance one another through cyclical interchanges which form another illusion, time. In 1931, Jesuit priest Monsignor Georges Lemaître proposed the Big Bang Theory in an attempt to appeal to the new quantum theory of matter. Conveniently, Pope Pius XII referred to this new theory of the origin of the universe as a scientific validation of the Catholic faith, something many believers in this myth would rather not discuss. In reality, this theory is a linear, two-dimensional guess and demonstrates very well the lack of imagination on part of those whose minds have been unable to penetrate this illusion we call matter and substance. It is a convenient way of explaining from the position of the senses alone the effects of motion, which are multitudinous and complex, ultimately enforcing the need for a reduced two-dimensional linear interpretation or beginning and ending. It does not, however, ring true for the illuminate. The commonality of illumination when considering cosmological origins is the agreement from various illuminates who have repeatedly stated that motion itself is a fantastic illusion, while true reality is timeless and without beginning or end. In many traditional approaches to any cosmological explanation, the question of such origin was left to those who had the ability to penetrate the veil, as it were. Oftentimes, the quest would utilize shamanic techniques and ingestion of substances in order to alter the senses of mankind. The illumination experience, however, is far superior to the ingestion of substances. Walter and Leo Russell, as well as others, soberly experienced this rare state directly without ingestion of substances, making it a holy mind experience separate of body. For those who have seen beyond the senses, a much different explanation or story emerges. The theme is all too common when one studies that rarest of all human conditions, known as illumination, as well as the countless near-death experiences that have been documented on record. What can the mind experience that the senses cannot detect? In one word, those who have penetrated the veil use that same word, love. One cannot prove empirically in a laboratory that they love somebody, but pure and infinite love may be known within each and every human heart on earth. It is unfortunate that most scientists will use this word in their daily lives, but fail to comprehend any levels above human sensing, which could open the doors to the highest ideal of mankind. Knowing itself is non-dimensional. The Creator is therefore best defined using the following words of description: omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, light, stillness, silence, undivided, unconditioned, sexless, motionless, formless, ecstatic, love, power, non-dimensional, invisible, and equilibrium. Let's break down the difference between sensing and knowing in an even simpler way. When one looks with their eyes, the electric brain will only respond to what is essentially in motion. Utilizing the senses creates awareness of electrical effects of motion. This could be likened to the ego, or externally generated outlook. This follows for all instruments of mankind's making, which are useful to detect or measure electric phenomena on Earth or in space. The human brain is a polarized organ with two hemispheres, which could be likened to a hard drive in a computer. We would not say that a hard drive has intelligence or self-awareness. However, the hard drive can only project that which it has recorded in the form of ones and zeros, using what we call software. In the same sense, the patterns of coping mechanisms, cultural identity, political affiliations, and religious or scientific beliefs constitutes a form of human software. The human brain runs specific software by the process of rote, or repeating and remembering, which will help it to adapt or cope with the world around it. When one learns a form of software, either in early childhood or later as a young adult within any structure such as family, academia, or corporate institutions or otherwise, one must download and run that software, which performs the task that is expected of them. There are many kinds of software that can run in the background in the form of prejudices, beliefs, coping mechanisms, and emotional imbalances, which help create the unbalanced conditions that are playing out on the earth today, such as wars, diseases, and countless other examples of imbalance. Today, the human brain is subjected to countless forms of spyware and malware, which can infect a human operating system with all kinds of inhuman values, which only serves to imbalance the individual and therefore imbalances civilization. This is where the Illuminates come in. If we boil down the numerous stories of illumination, near-death experiences, hereout referred to as NDEs, and other in-the-light accounts, there is an extremely similar story that emerges rather quickly upon the realization that this experience being described varies only in words and location. Underneath the words and personal accounts, the theme is much the same. That which is experienced is timeless and eternal. This has made putting together any kind of scientific narrative very difficult, as humanity is not able to transcend the language barrier and find the commonality of this unique and yet unknown worldwide phenomenological experience. Illumination can obviously happen anywhere at any time, and it is quite differentiated from a psychotic break, which usually involves delusions, depression, and even violent behavior caused from excess stress, drugs, over-demanding circumstances of a job or home life. In contrast, the illumination experience of being in the light happens suddenly, and in most cases, to those who exhibit an exalted moral nature, good physique, good health, a warm heart, courage, and strong spiritual feelings, as well as to a certain age group in most cases, usually between the age of 30 and 40. In near-death cases, all walks of people in all walks of life describe the brilliant light which offers peace beyond understanding, no pain or suffering, and a feeling of love as has never been known by the living. Oftentimes, many NDE survivors will say that they only return to the body because they felt concern for one or more people they left behind. This quite clearly is much different from a psychotic break in many ways. We must take into consideration that what these many illuminates have tried to express is the light one sees at death. When one has a full-on illumination, even a mini illumination, or NDE, they often describe the experience of light lasting only a few seconds or minutes in most cases. Very rarely there are those who have a prolonged illumination experience of several days. In the case of Dr. Walter Russell, his lasted 39 days. The end result, especially in illumination, is a total and complete loss of the fear of death, the attainment of new knowledge without learning, and a much greater capacity for thinking and a sense of one's own immortality. In many cases, the word illusion or Maya comes to the surface. Many such illumination stories permeate with the physical world being an illusion. This is a very common theme throughout such stories. Western science is just beginning to scratch the surface of this, but will never solve the riddle of this one universal construct until these illumination experiences are taken into account, which will rewrite the unstable foundation built under the footing of scientific inquiry as it now stands. In nearly all cases of illumination, the major characteristics and themes that emerge are number one, unity, oneness, wholeness, completeness, moral elevation. Number two, white light experience, the subjective light. Number three, description of the experience as one of eternal peace or rest, undivided, formless, pure, and infinite love. Number four, transfiguration of the individual as seen by others. Number five, the instantaneousness and suddenness of the awakening. Number six, knowledge without learning. Number seven, God source or creator. Number eight, immortality, the loss of the fear of death, and the loss of the sense of sin or evil. Number nine, new life and vitality, added character, charm, self-healing, self-actualization, grand realizations, expansive intellectual capacities, incredible concepts followed by action in building them and giving them a body or form, which is typical of many great artists. The bridge of understanding stands firmly before the scientific world. If religion and science can hold hands long enough to cross that bridge, the human realm of understanding can leap ahead 1,000 years. There is nothing holding humanity back. Stagnation of mind being tied to laws that do not fit the onward march of humanity only serves to withhold deeper understandings and higher universal wisdom which awaits mankind. Those who bravely cross the bridge and bring back new knowledge serve to help give mankind the impetus to march forward into the unknown. The illumination experience gives to one the ability to redefine words and convey new knowledge with these new meanings. The light of mind makes known that which was heretofore unknown. Well, this concludes the series, Knowing the Creator 101. I appreciate you taking part and sharing this series with others in the hopes that we can all learn to teach ourselves through the light of knowledge, which is contained within each and every human that walks this earth. Timeless knowledge does not need a teacher. It simply needs a receiver to understand that these lessons are available at any time, any place, anywhere on this planet. If we are not the solution, then who is? We must learn to go within, to seek and find that which has heretofore remained hidden from us. I wish you all the best in your journey, and please check out philosophy.org. Help support the University of Science and Philosophy in keeping the great work of self-actualization and autodidactism alive in humanity. I'm Matt Presti. I appreciate you joining me. Have a great day.